Okay, on Erev Tov. Honestly, on a rather short notice, I was asked to pick a topic to speak about so that we should have some Torah learning today. So I figured, what topic is going to bring people out after a long day of tealing to the base medrash? What topic might be of interest to people on a long day? So, when all else fails, talk about girls, everybody will come. I come from my remarks tonight from the place of Baruch Hashem, having the zchus in my life of having a very, very special and wonderful and beautiful marriage. Chazal refer to marriage as kiddushin, as a sanctified relationship. The Torah views marriage as such a special and sanctified and elevated and holy relationship. And for that reason, it's important for us to consider what that relationship looks like and how to build towards having that relationship in an appropriate way. In a similar way, on the pasuk of Kedoshim Tiyu, we should be holy. So Rashi comments Purushim Tiyu, that one is supposed to separate himself from any of those kind of relationships that are inappropriate, that the Torah frowns upon. The Gemara in many places teaches us Ein Apotropos La'arayos. Hashem created us with a very, very strong drive and desire in this area, which is supposed to be used in the creation of other human beings. Can you imagine we can rise to the level almost that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at? HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates human beings, and we are partners with Hashem in the creation of another human being. The act of the husband and the wife coming together to create a human being. I believe this is why the drive in this area is so powerful. However, this also causes a lot of angst and problem and difficulty and challenge before a person is at that stage. The Gemara tells us, Ein apotropos la'arayos, that one can never trust himself when it comes to these Yisurim because the Yetzer is so powerful in this regard. Chazal will say in Bava Basra, when listing the Averos that people are most likely to commit, the Gemara talks about Gezel and Arayos and Lashon Hara. Those are the big three that the Gemara in Bava Basra lists. And so we'll just go through some basic ideas in the beginning, maybe open it up to questions for the last 10 minutes. So the Yetzer is very, very strong, and the Torah is very clear about the prohibitions that exist in this regard. The Torah teaches us in Parshas Achrimos, Velisha b'nidas t'masolo sikru l'galos erva. We're going to focus on the one that I think is most relevant to high school kids, and that is that the any Yisurim with a woman who's a Nida. Nowadays, we have women don't go to the mikvah, so any woman who is above the age of 12 or 13, she's gotten her period, so she has the status of a Nida, and the Torah says, Elisha b'nidas t'masalo sikavu l'galo serva. That not only is committing a sexual act with such a woman prohibited, but lo sikavu. And the Rambam in Hilchos Ishos understands that lo sikavu means any kind of touching for pleasure. Any kind of touching for pleasure, hugging, kissing, any kind of touching for pleasure, a woman who is nida, that's an iser d'oraisa. According to the Rambam, the Ramban understands that it's an iser d'rabanan. And certainly in terms of the severity that the Torah has this, it's very likely one of those Isurim, even though you don't get killed for violating this issue, you get lashes according to the Rambam, 39 lashes of Lo Sikavu, but it's likely also one of those Isurim that are in the category of Yaharet Valyavar, because it's in the general genre of Isurim that are Gilui Arayos, even though you don't get killed for it, but it's part of Gilui Arayos, and therefore the Torah takes these Isurim very, very seriously. Again, I believe in the Tamei Mitzvot, is the reason the Torah takes these Isurim very seriously, because the Torah is trying to guide young Jewish men and young Jewish women to save this relationship for the beautiful and special and exalted and lofty institution that's called marriage. So any kind of touching for pleasure, the Torah says, is forbidden. So this is in the area of any kind of touching. So many times people say, what if the touching is not for pleasure? So if it's purely a business relationship, you're going on a job interview and a woman who, you know, sticks out her hand to shake your hand. So technically speaking, that would not be prohibited. My Rebbe, Reb Mordechai Willig, says that he likes to call the dead fish. You shouldn't actually shake them. You could stick out your hand, and you're not actually shaking the woman's hand. The woman is shaking your hand. You're passive. A long sugya in Sanhedrin of why he thinks that being passive is not an issue. But any kind of touching that's for pleasure, you'll say, you're giving the girl a high five. Is that really for pleasure? So again, you're holding hands or something like that. That's more of a pleasurable kind of experience. That would likely fall under the category of this Issa Daraisa to touch a girl for any kind of a pleasure. That's in terms of touching. Again, if people have questions, we can talk about it afterwards. One of the areas that cause guys a lot of challenge in this area is certainly in the area of things that you're not allowed to look at. There's four categories of things that you're not allowed to look at. The histaklus, there's four categories. Histaklus l'shem znus. This is looking at a woman with the intention of committing an aver with the woman. Histaklus l'shem hana. Yeah, you don't have intention of actually committing any sin, but this is to stare at an image of a woman or a woman for pleasure. That's also a separate iser, and that's usser even on those parts of a woman's body that are normally uncovered, her face, or, you know, below the elbows, below the knees. Histaklus l'shem hana, staring at a woman to derive pleasure from the beauty, that's a problem. Histaklus shelo l'shem hana is the third category. That's staring at a woman not for pleasure, just because you're having a conversation with a girl. There's no prohibition in that on those areas of a woman's body that are normally uncovered, like her face or below the elbows, below the knees, staring at that part of a woman's body, not for pleasure, just because you happen to be having a conversation. There's no prohibition about that. However, on those areas of a woman's body that are normally covered, which we'll assume to be above the elbow or below the neckline or things like that. So then even histaklus shelo l'shem hana, that's prohibited. We're talking here about staring, but re'iya ba'alma, just if you just happen, the fourth category is just you're walking and all of a sudden a woman who's not appropriately dressed, you know, comes in front of you, so you're supposed to look the other way. If a person's watching TV and a certain image comes, a commercial or something comes, or a woman's in a bathing suit or a woman's inappropriately dressed, so you're supposed to look the other way. You're not allowed to stare at those parts of one's body. It came up for me today, like you're benching certain dharmsha b'kedusha. If a woman's, let's say, wearing a sleeveless dress and is sitting at the next table over and you're benching, so that can sometimes pose a problem as well. The halacha is you should turn around and not face. You're not allowed to say dharmsha b'kedusha in that area. Clearly, the issues of histaklus and the challenges that we have in this area is beyond the 20 minutes that I have. Clearly we understand that cell phones and internet and those areas pose a big challenge for people in that regard. I once gave a talk on that topic. It's on YU Torah. You could listen to what I said over there. That's not really what I wanted to make the primary focus of that, but clearly that's a big challenge that a lot of people face. Maybe at the end we'll talk a little bit about some advice on how to stay away from some issues in that regard of people who have challenge in the area of looking at things that they're not supposed to be looking at. The last area that I want to talk about, and then maybe we'll just talk a little practical and then open it up to questions from you, is the area of bad thoughts, of hirhurim. And this is an area that is a very, very big challenge for so many teenagers and anyone who's not married, and unfortunately some people who are married. The Gemara teaches us in Maseches Ksuvos, V'nishmartim mikol davar ra, shlo yaharher b'yom v'yavelu deitum b'alayla, that bad thoughts can cause a person to have problems with the thoughts and cause other issues. This is one of the most difficult yetzaharas that a person has. The Gemara says in Maseches Yuma, we had it recently in the Daf Yomi, hirhuri avera kasha me'avera, that the bad thoughts about the sin are sometimes more disarming and overwhelming to a person and cause so much distraction, even more than the regular sins themselves. And many, many Mamori Chazal that talk about the issues of how overpowering this kind of Yetzirah, these kind of bad thoughts are. My Rebbe once pointed out that Hashem gave us the power of imagination. Hashem gave us the power of imagination that we should imagine that when you're davening Shmoneh Esrei, you're actually standing right in front of the Melech Malchei Melachim Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's why He gave us the power of imagination. To imagine that when you're davening Shmoneh Esrei, you're standing in front of Hashem, or to imagine on Shabbos, that Shabbos is a special, unique day that's Me'ein Olam Haba, that you're supposed to feel different on Shabbos. You're supposed to feel that Hashem comes to visit you in your house on Shabbos. That's why you have a special Zemiros. And somehow when it comes to the things that we are supposed to have a good imagination for, often we don't have that great of imagination. We say, I don't really feel like I'm talking to Hashem. I don't really feel like Shabbos is such a special day. And dafka, the things that we're not supposed to have such a fertile imagination for, all of a sudden we have such a detailed, fertile, explicit imagination. We see one little thing and we're already imagining 20 steps down the road. We're already imagining X, Y, and Z. Hashem gave us the power of imagination to imagine holy things. But somehow, when it comes to the unholy things, we have major imagination. When it comes to the holy things, so we don't have as much imagination. So it's more difficult to use that. But we're supposed to use the power of imagination for those things that it's supposed to be used for. The Gemara has a statement about this. Gemara says, if you'd analyze biologically, you know, blood, and you know, if you look at a human body, which is made out of blood and pigment, and you know, it's not such an exciting thing. The Gemara calls this Sak Malit Soav HaKol Ratzon Acharav. Very, very, very graphic kind of a statement of the Gemara that our imagination plays so many tricks with us. And one of the real keys in beating these kind of things is to realize that it's exactly that. It's just imagination. We imagine so much more than what's really going on. And we see something little, or we start to see something and we start imagining so many things. We have to learn how to control our imagination. I like to a lot of times compare it to dieting. That you know, someone who has to go on a diet, so how do you avoid the food? So a lot of people make the mistake, they think the way to avoid the food is by saying, oh, this is going to kill me, it's going to be terrible for me, and it's going to make me unhealthy, and I'm going to get sick, and chas v'shalom, I'm going to have major health problems. The research shows that that's not the way to avoid eating bad foods for you. A much more calm approach is not to get all worked up about it. Somehow the more worked up we get about these things, the more we end up violating. That's the way the imagination and the drive and desires that we have for these things. For food, it's very similar. Very similar to food. But the way to deal with it is a much more calm kind of approach. Kind of like I like to say about food, you know, you look at the food and you say, you know, I've tasted that before, I know what it tastes like, it's not the biggest deal in the world, I have a much more calm and mature and in control approach to dealing with these kinds of yetzaharas. In my experience and with people I've spoken to, works a lot better than the "this is usser and I'm going to get killed for this." And you know, that doesn't work. That approach doesn't usually work. It's the more calm approach of, you know, a more mature kind of relaxed and calm approach to these things. Goes a further way. To say, like, you know, to try to not allow the Yetzirah to get off the ground in the first place. There are Gemaras that talk about this. There are Gemaras that speak about how one conquers the Yetzirah. There's one Gemara where the Gemara talks about how to conquer this Yetzirah, where the Gemara says that the more you give into it, the more it's going to be able to attack you. And if you can just remain calm and relax and not to get all worked up over it, you'll have a much better time at defeating that Yetzirah. Last thing we'll talk about, then we'll open it up, is, you know,
a lot of times, you know, I for the last 30 years of my life, I've been dealing with high school boys. I know anything about high school girls. I don't know anything about elementary school boys. But I've been, for 30 years, been dealing with high school boys. And if a boy will come to me and tell me that he's going to a co-ed camp over the summer, so I always say to him, my blessing to you is you should speak to a lot of girls. I want you to speak to a lot of girls over the summer. And not one. That's my advice then. I say, you should
and I'm a firm believer, a lot of you guys, you know, went to co-ed schools, have many relationships with girls. I'm not here to say anything negative about that. You're friendly with girls, you should be respectful to girls, you meet girls wherever it is, you should talk to them, you should be respectful and be respectful in those discussions. But where a lot of what we spoke about till now comes into a problem is where guys and girls start, one-on-one kind of relationships in high school, having a girlfriend or the one-on-one. To be friendly with a large group of people, I think, is much less problematic. The problems really become all the things I talked about the thoughts, where the thoughts overcome you and you're thinking about it all the time, and every time you do anything, you're wondering, what's the girl going to think about it? How's she going to take it? You start almost not being able to live life yourself. You're always reflecting on everything. What's she going to say about it? What's she going to say about it? And the issue of her horror. I remember one time I was counseling one of my students who had a girlfriend, and the girlfriend came from a non-observant home, but she had become more observant. And the girl's mom thought it was crazy. But it was crazy that the guy who her daughter was going out with won't, give her a hug. So I told the guy, I agree with the mom 100%. I agree with her 100%. It's crazy that when you have a relationship with somebody, you're not going to go over them and give them a hug. That's the normal way we're programmed. When you get close to somebody of the opposite gender, so the natural way we're programmed is to get more close and to keep on getting closer and that it should become physical. That's the natural way we're programmed. She was 100% right. And that's why it's majorly problematic, because the natural way with these kind of relationships is to lead to those things that we spoke about that are prohibited, whether they be touching or whether they be bad thoughts or all these kind of things. And this is a little bit of, again, I have 10 more minutes. I could talk about a lot longer, but I'd rather respond to what you guys say. And again, please feel free to be honest. Please feel free to ask what's on your mind. And let's be straight. Let's be honest, so we can have a conversation about it. Yeah.
My first question is, if you, like you said earlier about a dead fish handshake. So if you give a dead fish handshake, it's better to not give a handshake at all, because if you give a dead fish, you're definitely not going to get the job.
Yeah, okay, so I think again, it's a good aura. There's dead fish and dead fish. Again, if you think you're in that position, then you could probably give the handshake, not Darachiba, and you'll be okay if it's not for... I don't know. I know many people who gave a dead fish handshake who did get... Yeah?
In some communities where it's common for high school people to have boyfriends and girlfriend kind of stuff, if it's not a big issue in the car, why don't they open up the place to young girls for them? You don't have this issue.
So... Yeah, that's. I think it's the. I have it here in my notes somewhere. Where that takana came from. I'll repeat the question. The question is, if in many places the custom is to have girlfriends, wouldn't it be better to let all the unmarried girls go to the mikvah so people who are violating these yisurim won't be violating such major yisurim? They'd be violating much more minor yisurim. So again, these kind of sweeping takanos. Are beyond what I think, it would require the great Torah scholars of the generation to roll back takanos of that magnitude. And again, it's to make it lesser, but there still are prohibitions. The reason why the rabbis enacted that is because people were violating stuff, and they wanted people not to violate it. That's why, because even when the woman is not a nida, there still are prohibitions of with unmarried yichud or other things, and with unmarried women who are not nidas. So the rabbis were trying to convince you not to get involved. I hear why you think that might be a solution, but I think we have to leave those kind of decisions up to the leading rabbis of the generation. I don't think it's really something that we can get involved in, it's doable. Also, it's
I don't think we should make, personally, I don't think we should make allowances for people who are violating the rules so that they should be violating them less. There is such a svara like that in Chazal sometimes, but in this area, I don't think we have to do that. I think we could educate people about what the laws are and how to observe them and to be respectful and to not get so worked up with those issues. Yeah. I'm sorry, why would...
If like, they serve like you said, I'm so bad, then shouldn't the co-ed school be like completely opposite?
No, so again, so first of all, the co-ed schools that all of you go to, the girls dress in a certain way, they're supposed to dress in a certain way, that there shouldn't be a serum of istakis. There shouldn't be a serum of istakis. Like I said before, to look at a girl's face or to look at the arms below, that's not a problem. The dress code is supposed to, you know, is supposed to preclude that. And again, there are many opinions that feel, like you said, that co-ed schools are forbidden for exactly that reason. In some communities, co-ed schools are necessary. There's a whole discussion about Soloveitchik started Maimonides. And when Soloveitchik started Maimonides, there wasn't enough money in the community to support separate boys and girls schools. So that was the start. There are some people who feel that, you know, that Rav Soloveitchik started that in a bidyevid kind of situation because there was no other choice, but other people are now taking Rav Soloveitchik's bidyevids and making them lechatchilas. So there is that approach. However, I would just say on the other side of it, from my vantage point, on the other side of it, if we wouldn't have the co-ed schools, there would be a lot of Jews who would send their kids, and the kids wouldn't get a Jewish education at all. So I don't want to throw all the co-ed schools under the bus and say they're all prohibited. I wouldn't say that. Personally, I got involved in a school that's not co-ed, and one of the reasons I did get involved in it is because I do believe very strongly in the power of separate gender education. That, and again, it's interesting. I don't know if you saw this clip. I don't know what people are holding with recent clips that have been on social media about these kind of things. I don't know if everybody saw some recent clips, but I want to state very clearly that the way some people present the way Yiddishkeit, the boys and girls, are supposed to interact, I hope I was clear. I think boys should be respectful to girls. They should talk to them respectfully. If there's a girl on your block or a girl who's your parents' friends, you know, will come over for you. You're supposed to be respectful. You're supposed to talk respectfully. I don't think that, as has been presented, portrayed recently in certain videos on social media about the way the Orthodox community treats girls, you know, again, I'm not familiar with the Haredi community so much, the ins and outs of what they do and they don't, but certainly in our community, I'll call our community, which I'm part of, you know, the modern Orthodox community, we do not subscribe to this, you know, walk to the other side of the street when you see somebody, you know, that way. Be respectful, but know the Yisurim and stay away from the Yisurim. And I think that if a person is calm about it and mature about it, and you know, it'll go a long way. And I think that sometimes social media and the internet play games with our minds in a way, and teach us to have the wrong attitudes about these things. But I believe strongly that it's possible to have the right attitude about it. Yeah.
Talking about like looking at like women in a sense, and is there a role in all in like admiring beauty of even like each other? Like is there not like an, is there a role where you can like admire beauty of someone, even if like the upper part like your face, like, is that at all appropriate?
So I don't think that's appropriate when it comes to interactions. That's what we saw. I don't think that's appropriate. I think that it's definitely appropriate for a husband and a wife, but that relationship and those feelings and thoughts, Judaism, the Judaism that I know, that Judaism reserves that for really relationships between husbands and wives. One is not supposed to admire the beauty of a woman who's not his wife. No, but that's supposed to
be. Would it become appropriate when you're on a shit-up date?
So that's interesting. Yes, in when you're dating for the purpose of marriage, one is supposed to look at the woman and see if she's beautiful to you, because you can absolutely, you're supposed to do that 100%. Yes?
Why are there people who says that don't allow touching, but still it's very easy to look?
Mechitzas, you mean in shul?
Yeah.
It is an interesting question about what the height of mechitzas is supposed to be. There are a lot of different opinions about it. There are a lot of different opinions, so it's a whole sugya. I think you're right, it makes sense. The problem is, you want the women to be able to partake in the tefillah so that they should be able to see what's going on.
when you can't see what's going on, it's very difficult to feel part of its fila. At the same time, and that's why they're in the back, so the men aren't supposed to be able to see the woman, but if you just see the head, I mean, it's not like, you know, the end of the world. So it's a major, major issue about what the height of mechitza should be. It's a very interesting point.
Yes.
So I the question was, if you have a girlfriend, what should you do? It's a very good question. Someone introduced me to a term recently that I had not been familiar with. Most of you guys don't know it, but the Madrichim, I guess, probably have heard of this term. They call it the Night of Tears. I never heard of this before, like maybe 3-4 weeks ago. Someone told me about this, that the kid who had a girlfriend in high school comes to Yeshiva and so all his rabbis are telling him, drop the girlfriend. Finally, like a month or two in, he finally drops the girlfriend and he doesn't have the decency to actually come over and, you know, do it in person. So he does it on the phone or something. And then, you know, basically someone said that in a lot of the girls' seminaries, like around 2 months in, like in all the seminaries, all the girls are crying all night because all their boyfriends just dumped them because they were in yeshiva. So again, it's a little hard, Baruch, to give like one piece of advice for everybody in a relationship like this. Of course, there's all different kinds of factors. My general guidance is to try to keep it toned down, like try to keep the heat in the relationship toned down, that it shouldn't be intimate, it shouldn't be like 2 a.m, it should be like a more calm, try to calm it down. You know, again, I would ultimately try to advise people that, again, like I said, I'm against it in high school. I think it's unhealthy. There are rare cases that I did see that it could be helpful to a person, but because of the overwhelming majority of cases where I've seen that it's unhelpful, so I urge people to at least calm it down, keep it like calm. Don't think of it as like a marriage kind of a thing. Don't kid yourself and say you're going to be one of the like 1 in 100 or 1 in 200 that the girlfriend in high school is going to end up being the one you're going to marry. It does happen sometimes. But even that, like, it takes so long. You know, it's just so much of a time commitment of issue that. Keep it calm, you know. Don't try to like lower the volume and the intensity on it. Yeah.
2 questions. One, genuinely, in the modern day, we don't have any boom. But what if those partners genuinely want to do it?
I'm pretty sure the rabbis discourage yibum because we feel like people don't have the right intentions. That was it.
And second question: What do you advise men with homosexual tendencies to do in general life in order to avoid those tendencies from getting in the way of us? General.
Okay, the question was, what do I advise in terms of people with homosexual tendencies? How should they deal with those thoughts and feelings? So, again, those thoughts and that discussion is well beyond what I can answer in 30 seconds before Meyer, but it's a very... very, very nuanced and complex discussion, one that I don't mind having privately, you know, at a different time, but I really wouldn't want to try to answer that question in the 30 seconds before Meiriv. Whatever the Yisur are in that regard, so every Jew is responsible to try his best to avoid those Yisurim as well, the same way that people who have a heterosexual drive are obligated to try to not commit the yisurim in that regard. Someone who has a homosexual drive is obligated to try his best to not commit yisurim in that regard as well. Same issues. That's the very short answer. Yes.
Do you think there's any value in having a relationship with a girl in high school as opposed to having
I said, in some cases I could see for kids who have a lot of difficulty with stability and somehow a girl who's, let's say, going to push them to be better or going to push them to be firmer or going to push them to be have stability. I have seen some cases, especially if there's issues in the family with stability or with certain things like that. I have seen certain cases. That's what I say. You can't give one rule for everybody, but there are certain cases. And the overwhelming majority,
From what I've experienced, I think in overwhelming majority it's a negative, but in some cases it could be a positive. Yes, Sam.
Would there be any certain law of texting, WhatsApp, or FaceTiming with girls? It's like you're not really with the girls.
Sometimes that could even be worse because you're dreaming and thinking about what you know. You make it worse. I think it's similar. It's similar issues. I don't think it's any better. If anything, it could be even a little worse. Okay, I think we're over time. If anybody wants to talk to me about it any other time, I'm around. Feel free to talk to me about it.